Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I've got a smile on my face. The dogs are barking. The sirens are going off. It's going to be an amazing moment. I'm welcoming everybody to the broadcast this morning, wherever you're listening from. God bless you. And once again, in Jesus' name, be super blessed. We're going to have an amazing broadcast today. I have a dear brother. His name is Mark Davidson. He's the author of several books. Some of them are The Chronicles of the End Times, Daniel Revisited, and his most important book, I believe, at this time is Iran's Great Invasion. And what's so amazing, waking up this morning, of course, turning on the news briefly, Iran is in the news. So without further delay, I'd like to welcome to the Omega Radio Network, Brother Mark Davidson. Good morning, Mark. Can you hear me okay, sir?
I sure can. Good morning, Pastor Vincent.
Well, good morning to you. It's great to hear your voice again. I mean, it's been a while since we've chatted, and we've met a few times at the end times conferences, and we've had you on the air before, but it's been a while. And all of a sudden, Mark, Iran's back in the news, and who better to talk to than yourself? So why don't you greet everybody this morning, say a shalom, a hello, and let's move on into what is very urgent in your heart.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody, and shalom. And the Iranian invasion, the second signpost, as I call it, because there's four signposts, they've been, it's taken years for it to form. Daniel 8 is the main text of the Bible that talks about this. And the supreme leader and the IRGC, that's the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, are the two horns on the ram, and it is to run out to the west and to the north and to the south of Susa, that's in southwestern Iran. And so over the years, there's been more preparation, and experts on Iran could see these changes occurring. Of course, they didn't know that Iran was going to run out across the Middle East and occupy so many Muslim nations, and it wants to do this because of its spreading its Shia revolution that it started back in 1979. So what's changed now and is making this thing so much more urgent is that there's been a chain of events starting on May 5th where John Bolton, the security advisor with the Trump administration, declares that, you know, we're moving all these military assets like the USS Abraham Lincoln. with its strike force and B-52s and so forth in and around Iran. And that the then all of a sudden, tankers were attacked. Two Saudi tankers and two other ships attacked on May 12th. Were they false flag operations? We don't know. Did Iran really try to just, you know, blow them up or cause problems? We don't know. And then a drone destroyed a pumping station in the middle of the Arabian Peninsula. The drone is believed to have been Iranian. And then on May 16th, the leader of the IRGC says that this is the most decisive moment for the Iranian revolution, that they're on the cusp of breaking out. And then a missile landed 1 mile from the U.S. embassy in Iraq, and it's believed to have come from Shia militants backed by Iran. And then, so we see all these events going on one after the other for a couple weeks in the first half of May. And so we are now in a place where war could be triggered at any time, because if, you know, there might be a false flag from the U.S. or some Western agency, you know, like the Gulf of Tonkin incident that got us into Vietnam. It could be Iran just, you know, starting things to start a war. Just today, after the U.S. drone was shot down, and this just happened today, Iran says that they are ready for war. Even the captain of the USS Abraham Lincoln said a little while ago that he's not going into the Persian Gulf just yet because he doesn't want to inadvertently escalate something. And so right now, the U.S. administration is saying they want to build an international consensus to attack Iran. And so countries like Britain, they say, yeah, we believe Iran has been doing these things and they need to be taught a lesson. But other allies like Germany says, no, not yet. We're not quite convinced that we need to do this yet. Two more ships were attacked, as your audience probably knows, in the last few days. So, and it turned out it was Iranian mines. So anyway, with all this going on, we are on a hair trigger alert. We've never been here before. During the George W. Bush administration, it was all about the first signpost. It was all about instilling a democracy in Iraq. And then during the Obama administration, it was all about appeasement. You know, how can we make friends with Iran? Well, now under Trump, who doesn't take any, I don't know, wrong moves,
yeah,
or you know, like Reagan or George W., now we're on this hair trigger alert, especially with Iran and the U.S. going back and forth in their war of words, as well as these incidents occurring. So it could happen any time. And the reason this is also, just to remind the audience why this is so important, is because this second signpost, the Iranian invasion of the Middle East, is going to be a terrible event. It's not going to be just some event far away, halfway around the world that has nothing to do with us. You know, even the Iraqi nation turning into a democracy, even that didn't really have a great effect on us. It affected our military, and some of our boys and you know, men and women were killed in uniform, but it was nothing really significant compared to, say, you know, World War I, World War II. But this will be significant. We're looking at a possibly one-fourth of the world's oil supply being cut off. And I just discovered an analysis done by this expert on Middle East international affairs, and I'm kind of going through it right now. But essentially, Iran has it in their mind. They want to take down the infrastructure of the Saudi oil, you know, pumping and production and transporting. That alone would be a large chunk, but stopping all the oil from going out would be one quarter of the world's oil supply. This, of course, would end the U.S. petrodollar. In other words, the United States would become a nation just like any other nation economically. We would be taken down. Our standard of living would go down. And with oil cut off, as it might be, nations in Europe and nations like Japan and South Korea would have much of their oil supply cut off. The price of oil would go up tremendously so, causing, of course, economic pain around the world. Now, besides Daniel 8, there's also Daniel 7 and Revelation 6 that are related to this, hinting at these things. So this is definitely an event to watch. When it does occur and Iran runs out, don't think it's going to get any better. It's just going to continue because we have the third signpost and the fourth signpost to go through. So things will get worse wherever you may be.
All right. So, Mark, waking up this morning, listening quickly to Fox News, Sean Hannity interviewed the president last night, and he was concerned about the Iranian issue. And President Trump basically said, don't worry about it. Not a problem. We've got everything under control. Now, regardless of all the shenanigans and false flags and propaganda and all the smoke and mirrors going on in the world today, there is a biblical reality about Iran moving out in the last days. And that's what you've written your book about. Can you just spend a few moments and just kind of bring that revelation to our hearts and minds once again?
Sure. In Daniel 8, chapter 8, verse 4, the Persian ram, the one of the two horns, the two power bases, which are the supreme leader in IRGC, are to run out from southwestern Iran. And what's interesting is southwestern Iran, the area around Susa, is the only place to stage an invasion, because the rest of the western boundary of Iran facing the rest of the Middle East is this high mountain range. So they would start out from Susa, and they'd go west across Iraq and Syria. They'd go north, possibly into eastern Turkey, and definitely south into the Arabian Peninsula, both to take the holy cities as well as to interrupt the oil production. They do this because in 1979, Khomeini, Ayatollah Khomeini, he wrote this book about how there should be one man like him to run the entire Muslim community and wait for their Messiah, the Mahdi, which is our Antichrist. Joel Richardson's wrote extensively on this topic as well. And so, by taking out that infrastructure, it cuts off the oil, and that, of course, would cause the great pain, the great shouting. You know, Jesus in Matthew 24, and this is related to it, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. This is the second event, the second. It's all about war. And he says, it's not do not be afraid. Our English Bible says do not be afraid, but the Greek language says, the word for afraid is actually scream in terror. It's only shown twice in all the New Testament. And Bible scholars couldn't figure it out, so they had to go to secular sources like the Iliad and the Odyssey to find out what that word meant. And it does mean to scream in terror, to be very emotional and to panic. So it's not just not being afraid. And so because Jesus tells us not to do this, this is exactly what we'll want to do. So we have to keep our eyes on Jesus during this time. And this, of course, is when this occurs, this will be the next event leading to Christ's coming. They're going to run out across all the nations. In Daniel 7, that's the bear. He's ordered to gorge on many nations, to stuff himself, many, many nations. So they'll take Saudi Arabia, the Gulf states, Iraq, Syria. Now, you might say, well, Iran already has armies, militants in Iraq and Syria, but they're only in the Shia areas. Iran is a Shia Muslim nation. The idea is to take over the Sunni areas like western Iraq and eastern Syria and most of Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states. Most of them are all Sunni. There are some Shia areas, but the Shia areas is where they're being staged, where they're preparing for this great invasion. So when this occurs, that's the Iranian regime's desire is to instill this way of being, this way of ruling all the Muslims in the Middle East. And by doing so, not only will they spread their revolution, but they believe that by causing this chaos, they will actually trigger the coming of their Messiah. And ironically, this is true. Now, the one thing Donald Trump says and so many Americans say is, oh, this won't be a problem. You know, we'll just defeat them. Well, Daniel 8:4 says differently. And it makes me wonder why Daniel 8:4 even says this. It says, none will be able to rescue from the power of the ram. None will be able to stop it. And so for none able to stop it, none able to rescue, well, that sounds like something the United States would do. However, it's saying that none of this kind of thing will happen. Therefore, that portends something terrible, at least for the United States. that we may be hobbled, that whatever we try to do, we won't be able to stop it. And so it'll continue, and the great economic calamity will occur, and all the screaming and the panic will ensue. So there you have it.
So there it is. Okay, so regardless of what is being said in the news media, the biblical evidence is that at some point in the last days, this is going to happen. Iran is going to make its move to form a caliphate in the Middle East, and that's super important for everybody to understand. And so we're standing on the edge of this moment. And Mark, it's interesting because for the last several months, I've had this impression on the inside of me that we were going to 2019, we would witness a summer of violence. And I've been watching what's going on in Venezuela. I've been watching what's going on in Hong Kong, what has been going on in France and Europe and other parts of the world with these movements. We're moving towards the 2020 election cycle. All kinds of, wild cards could be played here. But to trump them all is God's word. And I am personally a bit awed at the possibility that after all this time, that we're going to see a sudden event take place, not just some cataclysmic hurricane or F5 tornado or wildfires or school shootings, but something at the higher level of war. And I wanted to ask you this. Are there any particular superpower nations that would back Iran at this time if they were to go to war?
Absolutely. Russia and China. They've already formed agreements economically and militarily. Of course, they're not, allowing their hand to be shown, but I do believe they know what Iran's going to be doing, and it's actually good for them, especially Russia. Russia has, all this oil. The United States, Saudi Arabia, and Russia are the largest oil producers now, each producing more than, altogether, they produce a third of all the world's oil. China needs oil. And so instead of getting it from the Middle East, if the Middle East is shut down, they can just get it from their partner, Russia. In fact, they've already been building pipelines over the border between the two nations so that Russia can deliver oil to them. Russia also has incredible amounts of natural gas. Russia and China are going to be the leaders, by the way. I get into this in my book, Chronicles, and it's a kind of a chain of logic, but it shows that in the end times, the world is going to be divided into three areas, three spheres, if you will. And one of them is Eastern Earth. I call it Eastern Earth, Central Earth, and Western Earth. And in Eastern Earth, China and Russia will be ruling. China will break out. They're trying to break out right now. Taiwan, the South China Sea. It turns out they own much infrastructure and the utilities and mining companies in Australia, of all places, and two Chinese warships showed up in one of their ports not too long ago just to kind of flex their muscle. And, of course, Indonesia has oil, and India has joined this cooperation, too. There's a picture of the three leaders with their flags, all shaking hands. But that will be the eastern part, and Revelation tells us that when the Antichrist is doing his thing and has camped out at Jerusalem, that the kings of the East, and that's in the sixth trumpet and the sixth bowl judgments, that the kings of the East will be coming. And in Daniel 11, it says of the Antichrist that he is disturbed by these reports coming from the East and from the North, coming towards him. And I believe that is the army and the leaders of East Earth, and it'll be China. What better thing to grab than the oil of the Middle East? That would be the prize. And so we see this possibly occurring. Now, the Antichrist himself will only control Central Earth. Antichrist will not be global. He will not cover everything. He can't. He's going to be combining all the Islamic nations by the end of the fourth signpost, and then you have the tribulation. So he's only going to have the first half of the tribulation, 3.5 years, to go conquering outside of the Islamic realm. I believe he'll take the rest of Africa, and he'll take Western and possibly Central Europe, but there's just not enough time. China, India, and Russia will form this wall. You cannot go this way. And then, of course, there's the Americas, but the Atlantic Ocean, thankfully, separates us from them. And so he'd have to have this great amphibious invasion, and that was hard enough for us to do. It took us years in World War II to get that together. So anyway, the West will be in poverty, and I give my reasons why in Chronicles. We'll be in poverty, and there'll be some chaos. Central Earth will be the Antichrist's realm, and the East Earth, of course, will be run by China and Russia. We also have further direct evidence of the Antichrist being in Central Earth and just covering that part, because the bowls, if you read carefully the bowl judgments, they only cover the Antichrist's realm. You know, the darkness only falls on the throne of the Antichrist, etc.
Yeah, the seat of the beast, Revelation chapter 16. So, Okay, let me ask you this, because, you know, speculation's one thing, but, you know, an impression, maybe an unction, a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Do you think it's possible that tomorrow is June 21st? It's the first day officially of summer. Do you believe it's possible in the next or during the next 4 months that we could see an actual release of a war with Iran that would spark everything that you've been talking about? Is it possible? Are we that close?
It could happen any time. It could happen this afternoon. It could happen 2 years from now. However, you know, there are those that might say, well, Trump would be smarter to wait until after the election, because if he starts a war with Iran, he might become unpopular. Well, it's not up to him. It'll start when it starts. I think we're on such a hair trigger now that it could start any time.
Okay. All right, Mark Davidson, the author of the book Daniel Revisited, Chronicling the End Times and the Iranian Invasion. These are very important topics. Iran's great invasion. Mark, anything else that you would like to share with our listeners? We've got a good 9 minutes left until we're going to move on to another topic. But what else would you want to enlighten God's people, those listening right now, to this very important moment?
Well, basically, when this invasion occurs, just remember, and no matter how terrible it may seem, because we're going to, you know, how we saw ISIS earlier, butchering and causing all these this terror in one little spot in the Middle East. Well, you're going to see this going on all over. The Word of God tells us this, and it's all in my book, Chronicles, where I get into this detail. But it's not going to get better. We're going to go on to the third signpost, where you're going to see Turkey, Egypt, and Syria get together, and Albania. These are the four heads of the leopard getting together, and that's also the goat with the great horn. They will take over. Iran will be destroyed and conquered, and they will take over as the new great nation covering the entire Middle East. I believe that's Erdogan today. Turkish President Erdogan may very well be the great horn. And then after that occurs, when he's removed from power either by passing away or you know, his he turns power over to somebody else, that's when it breaks into four, just like Daniel 8 says, with the four horns. And then out of the northwestern sector, the Turkish-Syrian sector, the man to be Antichrist will arise, and he'll start reuniting these nations. And when he's reunited them all, and this could take a few years, then we're ready to start the tribulation. And, of course, in the tribulation, he will expand his power, and then in the middle, go to Jerusalem, declare himself God, and begin the greatest persecution of Christians and Jews that the world has ever seen. So we have several years, and we're not going to be, I do not believe we're going to be rescued from all this. I'm a post-trib rapture guy myself. I don't let that out too often, but we're getting to the place now where we have to lay our cards on the table. The other thing is that you need to be prepared, mentally prepared, spiritually prepared. You need to know these are the events leading to Christ's return, and you need to be close to him. You need to see him work in your life. You need to commit all to him. You need to just cling to him. Keep your eyes on him like Peter did when he was trying to walk across the lake. Keep your eyes on Jesus and prepare materially too. Whatever the Holy Spirit prompts you to do, start a garden, buy gold, whatever. These are not the usual times anymore. Just like you said, Pastor Vincent, this is a change. We're entering a new phase, and when the Iranian invasion occurs, we will officially be in the end times with gusto. We saw the first signpost. The first signpost, Iraq being turned into a democracy, was the sign. It was God telling us, okay, guys, the end times are about to begin. You have like 40 years to prepare. Because when Saddam Hussein took power in 1979 until he was removed in 2003, and then, of course, the lion was forced to stand, Iraq being turned into a democracy, that was the sign it's to begin. So when Iran invades, that's going to be the second signpost. That's going to be the first, the signpost that turns the whole world upside down.
Mark, we hear a lot of talk today about Iranian sleeper cells or Islamic sleeper cells or terror cells that are here in the United States. I had a friend last night handed me an envelope, and this friend has a very strong prophetic mantle on them. There's no doubt you'll hear them begin to speak, and they'll be the prophetic mantle. And my friend handed me this envelope and had a dream, and shared the dream of 7 nuclear weapons going off on the East Coast and the cities along the East Coast vanishing. Is it plausible, from your understanding, because you've been searching out this Iranian invasion for a long time, and I want to talk to you a little bit more about that, but is it plausible for us to imagine or to think or to be told by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Truth, that there will be nuclear detonations in the United States by sleeper cells or terror cells, maybe Iranian sleeper cells or terror cells, or Islamic or otherwise?
Or even Russia or China, yes. The thing is that the Bible only tells us what we must see, what we must watch, and what we're supposed to watch for is the actual Iranian invasion. We don't know how it begins. We don't know why there won't be any rescue. So any number of things could happen to the United States. You know, we could be made poor instantly by this U.S. petrodollar thing, or there could be an EMP, you know, one of those big blasts that takes out the electrical grid, or, yes, there could be a nuclear attack. I believe there may be one on the East Coast as well as the West Coast. You know, Russia has those torpedoes, those big 80-foot-long, they're called Poseidon, and they contain a large nuclear warhead, and they could just simply come up at 30, 40 miles an hour underwater right up to the coast of that city and just sit and wait. And at the right moment, kaboom. Because the United States has a formidable ballistic missile attack and defense capability, Russia has been working on ways around it, such as you may have seen in the news, hypersonic missiles. Well, all missiles are hypersonic, but what they mean is hypersonic cruise missiles. A ship could launch from 30 miles off the coast and launch this missile, and it would attack. It would hit its target within minutes of on the coast with a nuclear warhead. So Russia has those. They have their Poseidons. So yes, the idea of America being taken out with just a few nukes, yes, is completely plausible.
Amen. Amen. Patricia Joy Xavier, you are with us on the air right now. Patricia, you have a question for Mark. You've been listening to the interview.
Actually, I could not get on the interview
because of Omega Radio. But on Blog Talk, it's going forth. We're going to replay this.
I couldn't get on Blog Talk either.
Really having a hard time this morning.
I was having a hard time this morning, but it seems like everybody else had. But welcome to the show, and God bless you for being on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mark, this is Patricia. We do this broadcast every day. God just put us together. So Monday through Friday, we're doing the Omega Radio and this Watchman Hour, and we're so glad to have you on. And you're talking about things that we see, and, you know, with the impressions and the promptings and some of the, you know, the connecting of the dots, you know, I would encourage everybody for the next 4 months on a daily basis, kind of moment to moment, to be watchful and to be prepared and to be steady and continue to get rooted and grounded, as you have said. And babe, do you have any questions for Mark?
Well, I've been hearing
about
a lot
the Iranian issue.
I have been hearing a lot about it, and it seems as though drones went right over this morning. And was it yesterday?
Yeah. Can you share your vision about the drones real quick that you had years ago in what, the 1980s?
Yes, it was early 1980s, and I was asleep. It was a dream. And in my sleep, I was awoken. And at that moment in time, I could see blazes of brightness of red coming from the very, very coastland of California, of the west of us. It was west of us. And I saw all kind of red flaming colors. I couldn't tell you what it was because I was too far away, but the sky was lit up with it and it was bursting. It was just absolutely bursting on the coastline from what I can see from where I was. And then all of a sudden I saw these white planes in absolute order coming from the east over me, over where I was toward the west coast where this bright fiery red was coming from. And I can see them and they were in absolute perfect order. And there were multitudes of them, as far as my eye could see, coming from that end, the east, over. And I was amazed at what I saw. And then I woke.
And that this was in the 1980s.
Early 1980s,
before a drone ever existed. And you noted about
right.
the formation of these white planes, that they had no windows or like a normal plane would be. They were just kind of like model planes.
They were just perfect.
Just perfect.
Yes,
yeah.
Perfect white planes, not large in size,
yeah.
as you see a traveling plane at this time. But it was just absolutely perfect, every one of them. And they were in a perfect line from one end to the other.
So a perfect order. So, Mark, what do you think? Are there going to be an employment of these types of drones in the coming war?
Well, there could be. Like I just said, with the nukes. In fact, maybe that's what our sister saw, were nukes going off. Yeah, could very easily be.
Very.
All bets are off. You know, we don't know.
And I thought that's what it was. And it surprised me because we were already talking about those things then, of the possibility of what was to be through the scriptures. And we were being awakened at that time to understand the times we're in.
In the early 1980s.
It's interesting you say that, awakened, because
yeah.
I've been shown that the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, that when the call goes out, hey, we see the bridegroom or the bridegroom's been spotted, wake up. I believe that will be the Iranian invasion, that all the churches, whether they're Holy Spirit filled or not, you know, whether they're wise or they're foolish, they're all asleep. This message of the signpost, this message of Iran invading the Middle East is not being received by the churches. I went up and down the Front Range. I live in Colorado, and I approached the pastors, the staff of 30 major churches, and only one accepted it.
Oh, my goodness. That is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. It is. The one who accepted it, he's a dear brother and a man of God. But, you know, I'm not saying that the others aren't, but I think this is right along the 10 virgins. The virgins are not believers. The virgins are churches because the lights they hold are not lamps like they're always illustrated, and that's the way it's translated. But the word used is lampadas, and everywhere else in the New Testament, lampadas is torch. And, of course, those that hold the torches are the churches.
And so they're in darkness. They don't have the torch.
Right. And when the call goes out about the bridegroom, wake up, it's not that he's there, because some translations say he's there. It's that he's coming. And so when Iran runs out across the Middle East, that'll be the message that he's coming. And that'll force everyone to wake up, because their traditional view of the end times for the last 1800 years is going to be blown away. No one's expecting this. Now, believers such as yourselves have read the message, believe it to be true. So the believers will be the ones to alert the churches. Oh, and by the way, one thing, Vincent, I did not tell you or tell your audience, is that Iran's Great Invasion is a free PDF on my website. You don't have to bother buying it. You can download it.
Oh, that's good news. That is such good news. He had to be dismissed just for a moment, but he'll be right back. But
okay.
May I ask you a question? Where
sure.
does the Antichrist fit in this at this point?
Where does Antichrist fit in this point?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He is alive at this point, somewhere in the Middle East, probably in Syria or eastern Turkey. And when the fourth signpost occurs, that's the reunification of the four nations breaking from the one in the third signpost, he will rise through the ranks and take over that northwestern nation. You know, in Daniel 8, it says his power will grow to the south and to the east. Well, that's the southwestern nation of Egypt and the southeastern nation, southwestern of Egypt and southeastern of Arabia. He will reunite. So right now, he's just biding his time. He may have been an officer in ISIS for all we know. We don't know.
Oh, it's so interesting, you know. But we, the church, must be prepared. And obviously, we are not.
No.
And Mark,
not.
I'd like to I'd like to weigh in just for a moment on this. I was thinking about, I woke up this morning, and I was reading scripture, and I went back to Patricia, and she was just kind of waking up, and I said, I just read something in the Bible that just broke my heart. It grieved me deeply. She said, what? And I brought my Bible to the bedroom. I laid down with her, and I began to read. And as I was reading this particular chapter, you know, a number of thoughts came to my mind, and I do want to share it before we get off the air today. It's in Ezekiel chapter 8. And it's all about the image of jealousy in Jerusalem. And God was showing the prophet Ezekiel all the abominations that were going on in four different ways within that nation. And today I'm thinking, you know, it's June and the LGBTQ community is basically taking over the month as Gay Pride Month and all that. And how Israel, Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, has opened the door to what God has called an abomination. And when you look at the abomination spoken of in Ezekiel chapter 8, they get into sexual abomination and perversion, deep stuff going on in the imagery of every man's mind and the things that God saw. And so God's response was chapter 9, where he brings those men forth with their slaughtering weapons in their hand, and God begins to bring forth his fury through a people. Is it plausible to consider that Jerusalem is going to get hit? Can you verify the biblical authenticity of that God could allow Iran and other nations within the Middle East to hit Jerusalem because their permission of the abominations that are being permitted once again?
Well, that's a good question, Vincent. I do believe that Iran will not be able to touch Israel directly. Iran's military will be stretched thin, they're gorging on many nations again. However, I do believe that the minion peoples, that's what I kind of call them, we're talking the Gazans, the Palestinians on the West Bank and so forth, that there will be a pretty good-sized war between them and Israel during this time. They will keep Israel pinned down while Iran runs amok over the Muslim nations. I believe the Psalm 83 war, Psalm 83 talks about a war between Israel and her surrounding peoples. It has not happened yet. The 1948 war, the 67 war, the 73 war, they did not fulfill that scripture to the letter. And all scripture to be fulfilled must be fulfilled to the letter, like Psalm 22 and the crucifixion of Christ, you know, the piercing the hands and the feet, gambling for the clothes. I mean, all these details. And so the signature of Psalm 83 is that the leaders, they come together and say, let us erase the name of Israel. And what Iran said a while ago wasn't, oh, let's wipe them off the map. That's not what they said. It was a mistranslation. What Iran, the Iranian regime, declared was let us wipe the name of Israel from the pages of history. And so that's the same thing. All the other past Arab-Israeli wars were where this Arab leader or that Arab leader was saying how I'm going to take leadership of the Arab peoples. I'm going to lead this attack on Israel. It was much more proudful, much more arrogant along those lines. But Iran funds and backs all these militants, all these different peoples surrounding Israel. And so this is the time. If it doesn't happen during the second signpost, then it probably won't happen because different conditions will come into play and it won't be set up that way. But I believe that's what will happen. But if you read Psalm 83, good news, it says that Israel will have a tremendous victory. And so I believe that Israel's territory will expand greatly after this point. And so that during the third signpost and the fourth signpost, Israel will actually be a much larger, much more powerful nation. And, of course, the Antichrist goes into the temple at the middle of the tribulation. So Jerusalem cannot be gone. Jerusalem cannot be hit at that point. It has to exist.
How about Ezekiel 38, and how does it stand in the face of what's going on?
Yes, Ezekiel 38 is all the different peoples associated with the Antichrist. It says, your armies with you. Now, his armies will be the Turks, the Syrians, the Egyptians, and the Arabians. That's why you don't see those peoples listed directly. But you do see the Persians. That'll be the fourth nation to join the Antichrist. And you see Put, the peoples of Put. That's the Algeria and Libya. And you see Kush, that's Sudan. And then you see the House of Togarmah. That's places like Kazakhstan and Turkmenistan, you know, the Central Asian nations. Mm-hmm. So that's all the Islamic realm. And so they will invade at the middle of the tribulation. And I believe that the invasion shown in Ezekiel 38 is the whole second half of the tribulation, because how it ends is divine. You know, it talks like Isaiah 13 does when Christ returns. So the whole 3.5 years, they're going to be, Antichrist armies will be occupying and destroying Israel.
Pretty powerful moment, isn't it? You know, Patricia, I remember you were addressed by a gentleman back in the 1980s again that told you, keep an eye on Syria, because something was going to happen with Syria that was going to be a linchpin as well. So the Middle East has always been an area of concern for the West and for different places like this around the world. Right now, we're touching on that forbidden, you know, holy ground understanding, Mark, with Iran. And yet you've been studying this and searching this matter out for how long?
Since 2003. Actually, since 2001.
So 18 years you've been researching this idea with Iran. The Holy Spirit put that in your thoughts, and here we are.
Well, I'm glad Mark has been doing this, and it's been called by God to do it, because we must be alert to the times we're in. And as you said, Mark, too many are asleep, and that is disastrous for this time. But I guess you'll have a remnant people.
Yeah, I do believe, of course, this is God's will. He wants his church, he wants his people to be completely dependent upon him. It's a blessing to know this ahead of time and possibly to prepare some, but by and large, the church is going to have to be totally dependent on him. That's why some will join him and some will fall away, like those five foolish virgins who are shut out, for instance.
And many loves will wax cold,
that's
according
right.
to Matthew 24, and they will wax cold because they've been offended.
Yes, yes, that's right.
And so
that's right.
We have. Go ahead.
I was just going to tell Pastor Vincent, like I said before, and I think you were like went to the other room or something. On my website, foursignposts.com, which is all one word, on there there's a free resources page, and on there is a free PDF. Free to download, take, reproduce, give it to others, of my book, Iran's Great Invasion. It is a free PDF. There's no excuse. Take it. Please take it.
Well, very good. I was going to ask that. I want to get down to where people can get a copy of your book if they want to have it in hand. And then you're talking about a free PDF, and I know you're on Kindle as well. And so, ladies and gentlemen, put this down. Write this down. Just, you know, while you're sitting there listening, just write this down for... F-O-U-R, signpost, S-I-G-N-P-O-S-T-S, foursignposts.com. You'll find Mark Davidson. He's got a number of books out there, but make sure you get the Iranian Invasion, The great
Iran's great invasion.
Iran's great invasion. That's right. Get it right, right? And get a copy of the book and read it. I've done that. I have the book and I've read it. And I think we talked about a year and a half ago or so, Mark. And you
yes.
said back then, when you gave a detailed account of Daniel chapter 8, and you brought it from a perspective that has caused many scholars to really look up and say, wait a second, I think there's something here that we haven't noticed. And now that you brought that out, you said about a year and a half ago, now let's just wait and let's see where things go. And then all of a sudden, here we are. And
yes.
there's an urgency in your spirit.
Yes. And the reason Daniel 8, I think, is, I don't know, this is so strange. It says in three places in Daniel 8, verses 17, verse 19, and verse 26, that vision of the ram and the goat is end times. It says it pertains to the end times. This will happen in the end times. And yet theologians have been trying to shoehorn it into ancient times. You know, we talk about the ancient Persian Empire and the horn is Alexander the Great. But no, it says in three places. And as far as I know, and I'm not meaning to sound arrogant or anything, but I have not heard or seen anyone say, oh, by the way, we should pay attention to this. You know, it's in the end time. And again, this is where I had my epiphany back in 2001, 2002, where I stumbled across that. And it's like, hey, wait a minute. And so I went from there. Being a systems engineer, you know, I got into all the research. And
well, that's what engineers do. And your miner's cap went on. And all these mysteries and these revelations and these prophecies that have to do have been buried. And it requires some digging, and the Holy Spirit just shines a little light, and the vivacious spirit of the seekers begin to dig out and mine out the treasures, and then before you know it, they're handing it out. And originally, most of the majority reject that revelation, that knowledge, because it flies in the face of what we've always known. But then after time goes by, the revelation and understanding of what has been discovered begins to become more plausible for people. Are you witnessing that with your book?
Starting to. My publisher has said that once Iran runs out, or it looks like they're about to, people will pick up on that, and that you know, they'll open the way to have me on larger shows. But yeah, people just aren't interested. I think a lot of it too was the Hal Lindsey book, Late Great Planet Earth. You know, he made all these predictions, none of them happened. The Soviet Union fell apart and so forth. And so people are just tired of it. And but that does not mean we should not, you know, keep watching. We need to keep watching.
In fact, I think it brought very, very definitely confusion within the church, division within the church, and darkness within the church by that book and movie.
Yes. Yes. And Late Great Planet Earth, Hal Lindsey made his central argument of saying that the Antichrist will be Roman simply by quoting the Amplified Bible. And the Amplified Bible in Daniel 2:40, where it talks about the Iron Leg Empire, just simply inserted in brackets the word Rome for that fourth empire. And Hal Lindsey used that as proof that, oh, it's Roman. However, in my book Daniel Revisited, I show in the first two chapters why the Antichrist is Muslim, why he comes out of Islam. And if you study your history, it becomes obvious, because in Daniel 2:40, the words of that verse show us in the light of history that the Iron Leg Empire cannot be anything else but Islam. And in Daniel 9:26, when it talks about the people of the ruler to come, the people of the Antichrist to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, which was in 70 AD. And everybody says, oh, those were the Romans. No, any historian of the Roman Empire will tell you that all the legions that were based in the Eastern Roman Empire, and that's where Jerusalem is roughly located, that all the recruits came from the local peoples of that province. So four legions descended on Jerusalem in 70 AD. One of them was all Syrians. Two of them were all Egyptians. And they had auxiliary troops that Titus the general addressed. And he even said, Egyptians and Arabians, you know, you're doing these things and so forth. It's all in my book, Daniel Revisited, chapter 2. But That word in Daniel 9:26 for people is Am. It's ethnic as well as political. It can be either one. And just like Paul said, you know, I am a Jew, but I'm also a Roman citizen. Well, there's ethnic, and then there's political. And so what was ignored was is that word for people in 9:26 is ethnic. And so the 10th Legion was the one that led the destruction. It was soldiers of the 10th Legion that burned down the temple and was trying to pry gold from the inside of that building. And it was they were Syrians. The 10th Legion was based in Syria for 70 years. They came there about the time Christ was born, and they left around 70 AD to go siege Jerusalem. And the ranks were full of Syrians. And so it was Syrians that are most likely the leading candidate of peoples who destroyed the temple and the city. And so the Syrians today are intermarried with the Arabians. They are all Arabs. They are all Muslims. And that area of Syria is where I believe the man to be Antichrist will come from.
Which is really a deep connection going all the way back to Ishmael, the wild man whose hand is against every man's hand and every man's hand against him.
That's right.
This is because that's the whole seed. That's the lineage. That's the connection.
Yes. And Muhammad came from the Muhammad came from the Quraysh tribe, and the Quraysh tribe claims descendancy from Ishmael. And Muhammad on his deathbed told the Muslims around him that keep your hand against the rest of the human race. Do it until the whole human race is Muslim.
Yes.
See, that's very powerful.
So that deception goes so deep, and that which was presented by the movie, what was the name of the movie that we're talking about that brought deception to the...
Well, I was talking about the book, Late Great Planet Earth. I'm not aware of a movie.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm not sure what movie there was.
You know, regardless of that, we are in total agreement with you, Mark. And I see the studying you've done. And I am thankful that you put your hand to the plow in that manner and way. I do pray that everything breaks open for you and you will be able to go forward and talk about this all over the world. And right now, by the way, our radio program is reaching all over the world. The world needs to hear this, not just the United States of America.
Right, and this
That's
interview
right.
will actually be replayed in an archive here in about 30 minutes, and it'll be going on Omega Radio. I've got to figure out some technical things that happened this morning for whatever reason, for the first time in 3 months, right?
Oh, I wonder
Before
why.
We had an issue. But you know what? It's so good to know that there are men and women of faith who are studying particular areas so we can look at it. My final question to you is Patricia and I, we have put our minor caps on, and we have been studying and searching about this seven-headed beast. And without going into major detail, we've discovered that the seven heads are seven mountains, which are seven empires. There are seven
right.
kings, and every empire has a system. How do you see the seven systems of the beast that will dominate the world, if you could speak into that for just a moment?
Well, those nations, those seven nations in history are now existing in the end times, like Iran, Turkey, and Egypt, and they're all going to be united under the Antichrist.
That's it, isn't it? It's that simple.
It's
all
that simple.
Right.
I have one other question, if I may. Do I have time
for
it?
Of course.
Yes, Mark, the Russian President Vladimir Putin is warning the United States against using force on Iran, saying
yes.
it would have catastrophic consequences. What is your feeling about that or your opinion?
Well, that may strengthen the idea that America may be attacked with nukes.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Mm. Wow.
I mean, why develop the weapons they developed, the hypersonic cruise missiles and the Poseidon torpedo? Those are weapons specifically designed to go against the United States.
Hey, Mark, you know, I was reading in Revelation from chapter 6 to chapter 9. I mean, if you're talking about a population of 7 billion people on the planet, between chapter 6 and chapter 9 of the unfolding of that revelation, that prophecy, 3.5 billion people would be taken out in the upcoming conflagration and the war of the sixth trumpet.
Yes.
leading
that's
up
right.
to
it's,
the
I believe it's a third of mankind, yes.
Yeah, yes. That's amazing. All right, so without getting into, you know, so many other things, I want to thank you once again for joining me on the air today. The book that Mark Davidson has written is called Iran's Great Invasion. He has written other books called Chronicles of the End Times and Daniel Revisited. You could find all of his work at the website foursignposts.com. That's foursignposts.com, foursignposts.com. And again, download that book. He said it was free. There's also a Kindle version, and you could actually purchase the book from Amazon and different places. Mark Davidson, thank you for joining us on the air today. I'm going to spend the next 3 minutes just saying goodbye, and I want to read a few verses out of Ezekiel to close things out here and get everybody ready for what's coming. Tomorrow begins summer officially. I believe there's been an impression that 2019 would be a summer of violence. Let's see where things go. And Mark Davidson, once again, thanks for joining us on the air.
Thanks for having me. Let's stay close.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be very much looking forward to hearing from you as time goes. Just anytime you want to contact us, make sure you do so, okay? Let us know what's going on.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. God bless you. Mark Davidson, make sure you get a copy of his book. I think Mark, he has studied, hasn't he?
He sure has.
He has really, really studied.
He has studied like no one I know.
And the interesting thing about Mark Davidson, the first time I met him was at the Signs of the Times over in Tyler, Texas. Remember we were there?
I do.
And Joel Richardson was there.
Yes.
And Mark was there. And Mark had such an urgency in him about this. And it was kind of
pushed back, if I
remember
right. It
was kind of pushed back a little bit.
At the conference later.
Yes.
And you mentioned that he wanted so much to bring what he had, the info, forward. And they were just sort of crushing it.
Right. And the urgency in his heart. I sat back and I watched what was happening. And I thought, man, this guy's got to get this out. He needs this out. And so we were able to interview him way back then. And then I met him again at another conference. Had the same urgency. I listened to him today. He has the same urgency. Men like him, Carl Gallups, other men of God, Daniel Seckham, these men that are coming forward and they have studied the Middle East. Their whole paradigm is Israel, Islam, Iran, Middle Eastern prophecies, Joel Richardson, you know, all these guys are there. They're Middle Eastern centric, but they're not excluding what's going on around the world either. And so, we're all learning, but what we all agree on is that we are so close. As he said, it's a hair trigger right now. It's hairpin. Anything can ignite this. And I just marvel that we're one day away from the summer.
Well, maybe we need to put together a conference with him and Daniel. And
Carl Gallups. Yeah, bring them all together.
It just may work
out. That would be a very powerful conference.
That would be. If you're interested in helping in that, please give us a call.
Amen. And you could call us at 858-864-8712 or contact us by email or text. What do you think about a conference with these great men of God where they could come and pour out what they have been studying and researching, and we could gather them together right here in Northwest Arkansas and get as many people that are interested in the end times from a biblical perspective that will cover just about every plethora of Bible prophecy, which I think would be rich.
And we can't wait too long because things are happening swiftly and fast, and we need to understand and be prepared.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see how the summer of 2019 goes, the next 4 months, beginning tomorrow. I mean, absolutely beginning tomorrow, this impression, this prompting, I'm just going to say it one more time, of a summer of violence. What was that impression about?
That's right.
You know, what is that? Tell, but you have been listening to The Watchman right here on the Omega Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, Omega Radio was not broadcasting. All the bars are going up and down, but there was nothing being said. So we're going to contact our Rev Media and find out what the problem was. However, the good news is because of Blog Talk Radio, we will be able to rebroadcast this entire interview with Mark Davidson in about 15 minutes. We'll have it up and running, and I'm going to play it. After Deliverance, the roundtable discussion, another roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier out of her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And you're going to hear some amazing conversation going on, equipping and preparing the saints of God to stand in these last days. Because quite frankly, our cleansing, our washing, our getting cleaned up before the Lord, each one of us, is going to be the most important commodity in the days that lie ahead. We have to have clear hearts to be able to hear the Holy Spirit.
Awaken is what he mentioned, and that's what we must do. We must be awakened.
Amen. And let's hope that this is now going to be going forth on the Omega Radio Network. We'll find out in just a moment. Thank you once again for joining us on the God bless. I'm Pastor Vincent Xavier, joined with my beloved wife, best friend, Patricia Joy. Shalom.
God.